The Mets are like a roller coaster. One moment you're soaring to the top, the next you're plummeting down, but either way, you're in for a wild ride.
Welcome to episode 66 of Mets on Tap, a drinking podcast from barleypros.com talking about Mets baseball. Pour yourself a beer, grab a seat in the bleachers, and have a chat with us. I'm Michael, here today with Jason and Jake. Hi, guys.
Evening.
Hi, guys.
Doldrums of spring training, right?
Are we in the doldrums? You know,
That middle part where it's like, okay, yeah. Can we get to the season already?
That the starters are going 3-4 innings at a pop, and so they're halfway stretched out, basically. I actually watched a good chunk of yesterday's game, technical difficulties notwithstanding. They had a 6 o'clock start, which is kind of less common in the spring games, but it works out for me because I'm cooking dinner around that time, and I got all keyed up. Like, just as I'm starting to get the dinner going at 6, and two pitches in, they had a lightning strike, or they had some sort of power issue at the stadium, and they went dark for 30, 40 minutes. Like, it froze up, and they came back, and it was, you know, Pete Alonso home run highlight reel, and I was like, oh, okay, SNY in midseason form already. but I did get to watch a bit of Ty Lord McGill pitching yesterday, and then the big draw for my son and I was to see Edwin Diaz's spring debut.
Yeah.
And he looked sharp.
He's going to be huge to have that guy back. It's going to make a difference. I mean, the whole pen being kind of reshaped is going to be massive, but he was so dominant. I don't expect him to be as dominant as he was in 22, but he's a game-changing, season-changing guy.
Yeah, definitely. I still say this is from like the first episode we did a couple of weeks ago. I still say they should start him, and especially now with Senga injured, just use him as an opener. Start the season with like all the trumpets and everything, and really just like get everybody pumping. Just let him have an inning right in the first.
Terrible idea, but
yeah. I mean, if you did it opening day as like the first day, and it's his first, I don't want him in. I don't like the idea of the opener to begin with. I just it's too non-traditional for me, you know. But if you wanted to do it opening day to get Diaz to start the season off, I could actually buy into that. I mean, they will never do it. It's just it's not their way. But
it's just like cheesy fun because I like the idea of like he pitches the first inning, and he could also theoretically pitch the very last inning for the Mets too in the season, and just be like it'd be nice bookends.
And that would be when our new manager gets fired. Bookending Edwin Diaz, you know, right. But that's why tens of people listen to this podcast for the hot takes. The hot takes.
It's right. It's all the talk in very small, select circles of Mets fans. Clearly,
I mean, if I had a radio show in WFAN and I just started every episode with started Edwin Diaz every day, like people would talk about it because that's the you get the hot takes, you make people talk about it.
Yeah, and so here's a hot take. The Mets, at least the last couple of days, haven't hit much, and we, Mike and I, talked about this a little bit last week, Jake. Are you worried about the Mets batting averages this year? What do you think?
Their actual batting averages?
Yeah, like, well, maybe not so much, you know, the actual raw numbers don't matter, but I mean, will they hit enough to be a good team? That's the question.
I don't know, and I think maybe that kind of dovetails nicely with some of the news that was coming out today with, you know, Vientos has been not really impressing too many people. And so the Mets are all of a sudden looking again at JD Martinez. And then JD Davis also got cut and they're sniffing around him. And he's not as good as the other guy with initials. I'd rather have Martinez over Davis if cost was the same. But I mean, either one of them makes sense for this team and it would, you know, and I think would elevate the lineup. So I do worry a little bit, and I don't know what the hell's going on with McNeil. So yeah, the lineup, you need the offense to be clicking because there's so many questions in the starting rotation, and I do worry a little bit about the offense clicking.
Well, it's ironic because the starting rotation, if you're an optimistic sort and you want to trust spring stats, I'm getting a little boost of confidence because they're all five of these guys who are your projected front five are off to good starts this spring. They're all throwing 3-4 innings and they're more or less shutting people down. Obviously, it counts for nothing and it means nothing to say how well you pitch in March, not only how well you'll pitch in May and June and July, but how well your body will hold up. You know, the Mets having so many injuries the last few years, but yeah. I'm just looking at the spring stats. Mark Vientos actually leads the team in at bats, which makes sense. They're trying to give him an opportunities to see what he can do with the plate, but he's only had 6 hits all spring, 2 homers, 2 RBIs, 194 batting average. So his numbers, Brett Beatty is a little better, but yeah. So, you know, Alonso's hitting, and Alvarez is hitting, and a lot of these other guys really haven't even played enough for me to
JD Martinez would look great as this team's primary DH or, you know, full-time DH. But JD Davis, if they have worries about either one of the young third basemen, he would be, he makes sense as a guy who can DH and play a passable third base, or I think even above average. He kind of had a rep for not being that great defensively, but I think he was, I think he rated out as being, you know, better than what all of us idiots think.
it depends how you grade it out. I think FanGraphs had him positive last year at third base. Baseball Reference had him a little negative. I mean, he's always had a rep as a bad defender, but I think even when he was playing with the Mets, like, he never seemed terrible. You never like, oh no, they hit it to JD Davis. He didn't wow you or anything, but like, he could play the position, and I was never like, okay, well, that's a trouble. Don't hit it to him. Well, he hits pretty well. He gets some base. Like, he's not a hole in the lineup. I think he would be a helpful for this team.
The thing too is you're going to get him at a fraction of what JD Martinez ends up getting for a salary, because he's just looking to latch on. He'd probably even take a minor league deal at this point to get an opportunity to play his way into a roster somewhere. JD Martinez is going to sit and wait, and he could hang up his shoes if he doesn't see the deal he likes. You know, he's had a pretty accomplished career at this point. I don't think JD Davis is done playing baseball just yet, so maybe he's a low cost solution. I certainly don't see have a that problem.
The same. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be in. I think he's going to get probably a starting job, and I think he was looking for $7 million in arbitration, and the Giants gave him just shy of that. And I think I can imagine as a free agent, now that he has more suitors, he's going to ask for probably around the same thing. And I'd be surprised if he isn't worth that. Yeah.
He's worth that. The thing is, they cut him. They save the money. It's a loophole. They don't have to pay him at all. Yeah. He's making nothing.
It's pretty sleazy. Yeah, it's a collective bargaining agreement that they're within their rights to do it, but basically,
and everybody else, was like, okay, well, we'll let him clear waivers. We don't have to pay him. And like, we'll go to a bidding war. Maybe we have to pay somebody $3 million instead of $2 million. And now, you know, that's junk change, but.
Yeah, I think they'll find
something. I don't, and with the Mets having Beatty and Vientos and like being like sort of public about wanting to give those guys chances this year, I don't know if like given the option that JD Davis would choose the Mets just from a playing time standpoint, especially considering how they treated his playing time when he was here. I feel like they've underplayed him. But
no, certainly a fair amount of Mets fans would agree with you. I think that he didn't get a fair shake, especially the season specifically where he was traded. He sat a lot that year before they sent him off to San Fran, and was that two seasons ago?
Yeah, and he might have been the reason they didn't make deep in the playoffs. I mean, they literally he hit like 12 home runs for San Francisco after they traded him, and like
one more
home run for the Mets would have beat Atlanta and gotten them in the division series instead of the wild card, and who knows what happens. So.
There's still the whole Steve Cohen tax 110% fourth bracket or whatever the Mets are in, where any player they sign, whether it's JD Davis, if he gets that $7 million, he'll be at 110%. So that would be almost what, $15 million? Yeah. And then, you know, JD Martinez, if he got $15 million, that dude is looking at over $30 million with the tax. So you just really have to go, how much do I actually want to pay for this guy? We need him. And I don't know what the Mets will actually do.
No, I think they stand pat. I don't think they sign either of them. I think they're good baseball decisions, but at this point, they're ready to roll the dice. I mean, it's the same reason they haven't signed any pitching. Senga got hurt. They didn't add anybody. You know, the bats so far are slow to wake up, but they didn't sign anybody. It's the same basic pattern. They look pretty well locked into the current 40-man roster. That's my guess.
Yeah, they'll wait to see what happens at the trade deadline. If the team there is potential, but not a lot of it. Then if they're good, they'll make something at the trade deadline.
Right. If the expectation is you're a 75-80 win team, then let them show signs of life in the first 2-3 months, and then go out and spend money, and then go out and commit resources to it. You know, for all we know, they're waiting to see what side that team falls on. They come out slow, and they're, you know, 10 or 15 games under 500, then they save themselves the trouble of paying for one of these guys that may or may not even made a difference anyway, right?
Yeah. I told them I'd take $12 an hour, but they were concerned with the tax. It would be nearly $25, and I don't blame them.
I'm miserable against righties. Otherwise, you know, I probably have a shot here. I'm a complete platoon guy, I'll be honest with you. I do not pick up the breaking ball off the righties. I'm not going to lie.
I got a lefty bat here, but like I was actually teaching. I picked up a baseball the other day. We went to My daughter wanted to go to the bike riding today, so we walked to the park. It's nice out here. And there was a baseball left on the field. I picked it up. I'm like pretending to throw it righty and teach myself to throw it on the other side.
do you not like keep a baseball like handy, like where you sit like every minute of the day? Am I the only one who does this?
I have a lot of softballs.
You guys are tech professionals. Like, I don't understand how you even have a critical thought without holding a baseball. And for those of you who are listeners, you know, we all have cameras going while we record this. I'm actually holding a baseball right now. I've mentioned it in many previous episodes of this podcast that I have a buddy who works in the media booth at Syracuse Mets baseball games, literally just has buckets of baseballs, foul balls hit up onto the roof. So I have a baseball at my desk where I work from home. I have a baseball at my desk when I work at the office, and I use it when I'm on a conference call. I just palm it. I work on the different grips. You know, here's the two seamer, here's the four seamer. And I'm not a baseball player. I haven't been since I was 12, but it's something, something about holding the baseball. It helps my brain fire in a certain specific way. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody else.
I've got the Mr. Met baseball head here, if you want, if that counts.
Yeah, but it's got the pedestal away.
I'm all in a softball now.
Mr. Met has laces on his head.
I suppose you could work on your grip. I don't know, as long as Mr. Met, he's not the kind to say something about it, honestly.
I think it's hilarious that we both had bobblehead dolls. And I do have an autographed David Wright baseball card that I keep, which it kind of covers my wife's picture, and she came in the other day and said that kind of figures, you know.
No, I got the softball. I'm all about softball now. It's funny, now it's a couple of seasons coaching softball, like when I do pick up a baseball, I feel like a giant
because it's not a softball,
because it's really softball. I pick it up, but I just feel like a giant holding this tiny little ball.
No, I like having these baseballs. Look, it's cool because they're all, you know, they're all officially game use. Like, these were all balls that were hit up there during games. They got pine tar on them where they were fouled back. And yeah, in fact, all the ones I have are now, you won't even see them anymore because they still all say official ball international league. The international league isn't a thing anymore. When they reduce the minors down by 25%, they rebranded all of the balls. So now the balls all just say official ball minor league baseball. They don't say international league or Pacific Coast League. So these are relics of a bygone era. At my work desk, I actually have like a half dozen. And like when somebody's talking to me and they're trying to work through something, I hand them a baseball and I go, here, you know, paw this a little bit, maybe scuff it up a little bit on your shirt, and then see if something comes to you, because that works for me, man.
I thought you were going to say that when you're talking to somebody at your desk and the conversation goes too long, you pick up a ball and start, you know, rubbing it down furiously, and they're like, well, cool, I'm good here.
Getting ready to hit him in the ribs. Yeah, I'm going to brush him off the plate. Exactly. Maybe you're crowding my plate. Maybe you don't realize it until I push you back a little bit. That's how you know. I'm pessimistic about the hitters. I'm optimistic about the pitchers. I think that's kind of what the spring training stats have borne out.
Are you guys worried that Mania cut his hair? It's just like,
no, it's a good thing. We're going to the Jacob deGrom thing where he cuts his hair and gets better, right?
I kind of like the big bushy hairdo. I thought he looked kind of like a wild man. So I feel like maybe he's less intimidating now. He just looks like another baseball player. I don't know if that's too simple.
He didn't forget which New York team he signed for. And they're like, no, dude, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah, okay. He got all sad. Like, I can grow a mustache at least, so it's okay. I had another thought yesterday. I haven't watched a ton of spring games just because I've been busy. But the broadcast team yesterday was Steve Gelbs and Keith Hernandez. And so it's good to see Keith in the booth. And I'll tell you something. I think Gelbs has gotten better at this. I haven't listened to him maybe since last year, and he's done a few games and he's done a few more innings here and there. And you know, we have to start thinking about the idea that at some point, you know, Howie Rose and Gary Cohen, God forbid, they won't be the play-by-play guys forever. They said, I read somewhere that Howie's going to cut back from 125 to 100 games this year on the radio. And you know, who is the next generation of play-by-play guys? Is it guys who were already in the organization? Is it guys we don't know about yet?
Good question. I listened to a lot more Howie Rose this past year, I think, than I have, you know, doing yard work and stuff, but Howie seemed grouchy a lot. So I don't know, maybe he's kind of getting to that, you know, to that stage where he's getting to be the older pissed off guy. So maybe
we all seem time to start grouchy. Scouting. Yeah, they all seem a little grouchy sometimes.
I don't know who, I don't want to think about a post Gary, Keith and Ron existence, but I could envision some new blood on the radio anyway.
No, I mean, Keith Rad's not that old, new. I mean, he's not that old to the Mets. Like, he's only been there, what, 2-3 years now?
Mm-hmm.
I just we talked about this a little last time. People just don't stick around in jobs.
No, yeah, we did. We did talk about that. Like the revolving door to second position on the radio side, next to Howie, is a bunch of guys of recent years. But I Keith's the oldest one. He's 70. I don't think any of the rest of these. I think all the rest of these guys are. I mean, maybe Howie Rose is in his mid-60s. But yeah, you know, it's, you know, not, they're not all Vince Scully. Not all of them are going to do it till they're 90 years old.
Well, Keith is 70.
Yeah, Keith just turned 70 this winter. I think Darling, I think if I remember right, is somewhere around 61 or two. He's in his early 60s. And I think Ed Cohen and Howie Rose are probably in between somewhere. But yeah, and they've dealt with health issues and stuff, but we were spoiled. They're all so freaking good. And Howie Rose can really take anybody and let him be second banana to him. And it's a pretty good broadcast. It just needs to be somebody else who understands baseball in a general sense, that Howie can bounce stuff off of and who can spell to the middle innings, basically. Right. So.
Yeah, I think we do need some new blood and like a new voice, like a different voice. Like baseball's changing and broadcasts are kind of stale in general, just the way we broadcast baseball compared to how we consume it. And I think this, we're due for a change in that, not just because TV networks are failing and changing and streaming is the thing, but like just how we engage with baseball with second screens and everything. And like, I think we need a new theme, and it might be nice to have some, you know, new younger voices.
I 1,000% agree. Yeah. I think you touched on it, kind of the way they market it too. You know, there's so many young players, players who are from all over the world that you can attract, you know, a different audience from people who normally consume content on TikTok and stuff. And these kids are excited about players, but yeah, if you turn them, if they actually watch a game and they got like Hawk Harrelson talking to them about the good old days, you know, it's, yeah, they need to deliver on the back end of that. You know,
the Mets TikTok is actually pretty good. And I think the videos have trickled out elsewhere. They do stuff like
You're a pawn of the Chinese government.
I'm a pawn of the Chinese government. They're doing
total pawn, and it's fine. You could be a pawn. Yeah, you know, the half, but
they're doing things.
Pawns.
Why do you hate America so much, Michael?
Well, that's a different podcast. But we're doing they're doing things like will Mark Vientos sign a banana? They have him signing all the balls, and then they just like hand him a banana to see if he'll sign it. And they've been giving Brandon Nemo like just random boxes of like random crap from Target just to like surprise him as he walks in for the day.
I'm an avowed non-TikTok user, but I have seen a fair amount of these also on this SNY's Instagram page, so I know what you're talking
they
about. And,
they get the Instagram.
And which is good, because I wouldn't see them if they were only on TikTok. It's not my deal. I'm sad about the continued inability to figure out the TV broadcast, the expanding platforms that are going to carry Mets games that I don't get, where I either don't want to pay, or even if I got them, I wouldn't have access because of the blackout restrictions. It's just a big pile of garbage, and it's so unnecessary and so stupid. And you can find streams anywhere to watch these games, but it's a hassle, and you have to close 50 windows, porn pop-ups, and it's like, I just want to watch a baseball game. You know, you punish me for where I am geographically located. And there are worse places. I mean, you could be in Hawaii and blacked out all the West Coast games. Like, that makes any damn sense in the world.
Right. No, being in Hawaii would suck.
Yeah. you probably have ways to console yourself from a lack of baseball broadcast on TV, right, when it's beautiful outside every day. Yeah. But I don't know. It's a sore point for me. And as I get older, I get grouchier about this kind of stuff personally. Yeah. So
and they don't seem to really care about it. Like, but really, you just want to be able to say, like, hey, it's roughly 7 o'clock. The Mets game is on. I just want to hit the Mets game button in one spot. I don't have to like find 17 apps.
No, that's it.
It was on TV. Like, it used to be on one channel at 7 o'clock. You just turned it on. It was on. That's Mets games. And you have to think about everything. Yep. And you know what? With the way we our attention spans are these days, you're like, I'm going to go watch the Mets game, but wait, oh, there's my, you know, there's my TikTok app and there's the email. And all of a sudden I've done 15 tasks on my phone instead of getting to the app that I was going to watch the Mets games on. And now it's 8:30. I'm like, oops.
No, it does a disservice to the fans. And then, you know, then they wonder why the audiences are shrinking. Like, you can't even find your team anymore.
Right.
I'm going to kick the Mets out of my MySpace top eight. That's what they're going to get.
Definitely.
Yeah. Wow. That's drastic.
Drastic times, man.
Yeah. Call for drastic measures. That is what they say.
Yeah. Guys, I was kind of looking at the pitching stats while we were talking about the important stuff, but you're right. One of the guys that's jumped out though was Hauser, and to me he seemed like a decidedly if like you looked up pitching filler, that would be the guy. But he's you know only 7 innings, but he's actually striking out more guys than he typically does. And I know it's spring, but you'd rather if you're going to say that you know that maybe these numbers don't mean much, I'd rather they be good. You know, and so far he looks very good.
Yeah.
Maybe he's working on a new pitch. Who knows? He adding the sweeper. That's the thing now. Although I heard it's the death ball now. Last year was the sweeper. This year everybody wants the death ball.
Ooh, that's a thing. Like the death ball. Jeez.
I didn't prep the death ball, so I can't tell you the details on it. I think one guy's thrown it, and I almost like it's trademarked because he like developed it at some like pitching, you know, one of those like drive line type places. But it's just like a different. It's kind of, I don't know, they like names for these balls. I think it's fun, but
I'm into it.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, I mean they're you know each time a guy goes up there and takes the hill and has a bunch of good like clean innings, that it's a good sign. Quintana today pitched 4 innings, 2 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. Joey unlucky Lucchese came in, gave up 4 runs in his inning in a third. Which is unfortunate for him as the sixth guy really in the pecking order to come out and not pitch very well. It's not so great, but
Sean Reed Foley is nasty in his 4 short innings of relief work. He used to be a really heralded prospect. If that guy is a reliable guy in the pen, that's a huge sixth and seventh inning kind of dude.
And that's an interesting thought, is how they're going to use the rotation in the pen. Because right now, especially without Senga, the rotation is very like, maybe these guys will be okay, but like you're not going to push them, and you're going to get to the third time through the order and be like, you know what, you pitched well, let's find a reliever. And it looks like the
quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, it looks like the pen might be good, so you might have the flexibility to do that. It'll be interesting to see how some of those middle innings shake out.
And some of the guys who would be relievers, fill-in starters, would be long relievers anyway. So the Mets could have a hybrid kind of bullpen or a rotation construction with 6 or 7 guys who could either be starters or middle relief guys. They could be throwing out a lot of stuff on, I mean, very Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 to 3 inning guys. You give you 2 to 3 innings, give up 1 run and get out of there. And
they totally could
keep it close. Yeah. And you know, the nice thing about that too, is that as opposed to a strategy where you use them for 1 inning and you're running them out there 3-4 days in a row, and eventually they puke all over the mound. You guy pitch 2 or 3 innings in relief, then he knows he's going to get 2 days off, and he gets time to recover from having pitched. And you know the next guy knows that he's got to go 2 or 2+ because it's his turn, and you know, change the mentality. We don't know how the new manager is going to do things. Hefner is still the pitching coach, I think, so there'll be some carryover from previous years, you know, general plans. I don't know who the bullpen coach is or who that was last year. I don't go that deep into these coaching staffs, honestly. some guy in Mets jersey.
Quintana, Severino, and Manaea should likely be starters. Definitely. I mean, the guys where they're hoping to get 5 or 6 innings, but even Manaea was a middle reliever last year. So, I mean, Quintana and Severino are definitely guys you're hoping to get you 5 or 6, but any of those other guys can be used in a number of different ways. It's going to be
interesting.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty interesting to watch, but I suspect they'll probably go with something more traditional than, you know.
Yeah. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, it depends on how they do also, right? You're going to kind of stick with what's working. And I think the thought that I had today or yesterday, I was thinking about this too, is when Senga finally does come back, if you've got 5 guys who are pitching well, then you turn it in with 6-man rotation. We already know Kodai Senga is used to that from his time in Japan anyway. And the difference between a 5-man and a 6-man rotation is 27 starts in a year instead of 32. So it's really one less start per month that we're talking about. It's not that huge of a thing. And if it stretches out your rotation a little bit, especially for guys who aren't accustomed to going 32 games year after year the way a lot of these guys aren't, then maybe that's a good plan also.
Yeah, it looks like they got a lot of options there. I just did pull up the
coach Jose Rosado. You'd bet me $1 million I'd have lost.
No, but you got to look at the first base coach. This is episode 66. Our first base coach, Anton Richardson, is number 66.
Yeah.
It's the Anton Richardson episode of our podcast. Yeah. I don't know what kind of baseball pedigree he has.
I don't know, but this might be the last time anybody ever mentions him. So. You don't talk about the first base coach a lot.
No, you
well,
don't.
We're coming up on the next two episodes will be the Jose Rosado and the John Gibbons episodes here. Our bullpen coach 67 and our bench coach 68. So there you go.
Yeah. All right, coachy week. Yep.
Absolutely. So what are you guys drinking today?
What are we drinking today? How about what we start with body today?
All right, listeners, buckle up because today we're cracking open a wild one called Slugger Saison Surprise. This brew is a haymaker of flavors. Picture this. It's like being in the outfield during the bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, full count, and bam. The pitcher throws a curveball made entirely of zesty orange peels, daring hints of coriander, cinnamon, and a finish smoother than a grand slam slide into home plate.
Okay. I'll take it.
Wow. That was pretty good. I was expecting, you know, that always takes a turn with this robot. And then the third act, there's a, you know, she's in a ditch or, so, you know, something has happened. So she's just enjoying a zesty orange Saison. Good for you, robot. Sounds good.
Paint a picture. It's impressive.
Yeah. Last time I had this bad boy, I swear I saw the ghost of Casey Stengel leading a conga line of knuckleball pitchers past my couch, each tipping their cap and offering cheers with their own ethereal pints. The room spun faster than a screwball, and by the ninth bottle, I was singing Meet the Mets in what can only be described as an interpretive dance, much to the concern of my furniture.
Well, I cannot hang with body, so I'm still not really drinking alcohol during the week, and I'm on my athletic. I'm a basic athletic guy again.
Same as last time.
It is the Run Wild IPA, which I find to be...
Yeah, that's what you had last time. That works. Yeah,
it's the Jose Quintana of beers.
The Jose Quintana of beers. I'm having something from Treehouse. It's called Noble Oak. It's a Czech dark lager. So it's just, you know, a standard dark beer. You know, it's got nice roasty notes. It's got some little bit of malt sweetness in the back. And it's just a nice balanced lager. I like dark lager, so it goes down well.
Nice. I'm drinking a beer from... we have a brand new brewery right down a street from my house, which is great. Van Hassler Brewing here in Liverpool, New York, where I live. And they opened in the fall, the winter time, a few months ago, actually in a former Arby's, which is great. I met a buddy of mine there, this guy Sarge, this old Vietnam veteran who I drink beer with sometimes, who's fantastic. Big Yankees fan, but I still drink beer with him. And we were there together on the day they opened. The place was busy. And he said, "You think they'd give me five beers for $5 if I asked for it?" I says, "Worth a try, Sarge. I don't think you're getting any traction with that." But it's a husband and wife opened a business. The husband brews the beer. The wife runs the business. They're super friendly. I played guitar there a couple times. Really nice. And I got a can of one of their very first IPAs, actually, when they opened. Didn't have any IPAs except a couple of guest taps. They had not brewed. They opened without having brewed their own IPAs, which is kind of a bold choice. They had a porter, and they had an amber and a Flemish ale, and they've done some other styles that are kind of funky, but this is their Way Cool IPA. It's a West Coast, a 6.1%. It's delicious, actually. It's just got that nice, pine tree kind of taste. They're really good. And they're doing some good work over there.
Does the, is the brewery, does it still have the big cowboy hat from the Arby days on the sign out front?
It does not, but it's funny. Ooh. to anyone who had ever been there when it was an Arby's instantly recognizes like the layout, you know. So like basically what they did was they converted the counter to the bar. Like they got rid of the registers and that's the bar, and the window that would look into the kitchen is actually where their vats are. You can watch them brewing the beer and then smell it cooking and stuff. And the seating area, they just turned it, the pedestal that would be behind the counter where you would get your napkins and your condiments is like a second bar where there's seats on both sides. And then they have tables.
That's hilarious.
It's great. It's an Arby's converted into a brew pub. It's a good vibe. It's about a 7 or 8 minute drive from my house, which is the other place, Freight Yard, where I also play guitar, is about the same distance in another direction. So I get a couple spots that are all within about a 10-minute drive for me. But yeah, good tasty beers, good people. It's good stuff.
What's the name of the place again? The Not Arby's?
Van Hassler Brewing.
Van Liverpool, Hassler.
New York. Yeah. Yeah. They got I'm looking at what's on their website currently. They got a Half Moon Porter chocolate vanilla named after the Half Moon cookie that I had. That was also pretty tasty. And they got a Flemish and Amber. They had a Parade Stout, which is an Irish stout. They have a Wheat Ale, which I liked. Yeah. And they have a Brown Ale.
I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, so I probably won't make it to Van Hassler anytime soon, but I really wanted to look up the interior. And I encourage anybody who hears this to look it up, because I can absolutely picture the counter where you'd walk.
Yeah, you know what? I'll have to send a photo of the interior to Mike. I feel like I might have taken one when I was there for my gig, that you can get a sense, because I played in the back corner, like facing the bar area. Right. So if I took any photos from that vantage, you'd be able to catch it. Otherwise, I'll just have to get it the next time I'm there. But yeah, their website, unfortunately, doesn't have any photos of the interior of the establishment. And sad to say, but yeah, vanhasslerbrewing.com. So there you go.
I would be fighting myself to make Arby's puns when coming up with beer names.
Oh, absolutely.
The horsey sauce beer. Yeah, sure.
Horsey sauce hops.
There you go.
Good.
That's funny.
Very cool, though. I need to get out more. That's what you're making me realize. Thank you for that.
We don't have any cool breweries like that in New Jersey, because everything is like, you know, legislated out. You have to be like industrial corners, and no cool Arby's or guest taps or anything like that.
Sad.
Missed opportunities.
Absolutely.
Yeah, truly. I mean, what day is opening day? How many days left till we have an actual game that counts?
28th.
Thursday, right?
Yeah, so 2 weeks from Tuesday. From Thursday, rather.
Although the Dodgers and Padres are going next week in Korea. Right, yeah. So
Those games count?
Yes.
Those games count. When are they, though? Are they like 4 a.m. or 6 p.m, or what are these?
I didn't know we were kicking off with a foreign trip this year. This is all completely new info to me. I guess the fantasy baseball leagues I'm in are just not attentive to this kind of stuff, or I'm certainly not.
I think they just don't care about that stuff.
Yeah, they'll just skip those games, the leagues I'm in. They don't. Right. That's exactly it. But I didn't even know that was how the season was starting this year. So that's cool. And because those games will count, even though I don't really care. I'll root against the Dodgers, I assume. I don't really like either team, but if they're games that count and they're not literally at 3 a.m., though they might be.
6 a.m. It looks like 6 a.m. for us, a little earlier for Jake. But
and a week from tomorrow, is that?
A week from tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, very nice. So the 20th, 3:05 a.m.
Yep.
Pacific time. So six. Yeah. You know, I mean, I start my work day at 7, so I'm up at 6. I'll be able to put the game on while I'm getting ready for work those mornings. So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I'll check it out in the morning. I might, as I sit down after I drop the kids off, maybe I'll get the end of it. Relax and watch the baseball. It'll be cool. I think I'm going to opening day, though. So
nice.
For the Mets, not to South Korea. So that would be fun too. Just alone. Nobody wants to go with me, but.
I get a gig that day. That the Syracuse. I don't actually have gigs the day before and the day after. But the Mets, Syracuse Mets home opener is the next day, Friday the 29th. And because they are playing baseball in Syracuse in March, they actually do a winter hat giveaway for the season opener. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Cool.
They recognize that.
So if you're going solo, you should be able to find like one ticket that's pretty decent. Or do you just like to be in the building?
Yeah, I just like to be in the middle. I'll find the cheapest thing. Usually I wait to the last minute because I feel like they come down, but the tickets don't seem bad right now. They've been like, I saw one yesterday for like 68, which is almost face value for opening
day.
They
super come down. I told Mike last podcast, we did a weekday game in the summer. I bought him the day before and I got three seats for $22, including fees.
It's opening day, so it's weird. I almost tried to
opening day is a bit of a markup. Yeah,
they ended up raining out and screwing me over, but yeah, but I'll go there. You know, I like to wander around and look at all the stands and buy the new food and just wander on my own. So it's better if not have to like drag somebody along that doesn't want to take like pictures of every single like beer stand, so I can compare the prices throughout the season. Like, that stands where you get the $14 beer, but if you want the good stuff, go upstairs for it, $16. And like, here's where the craft stand is and all that stuff.
That sounds incredible, man. Make sure you're screaming for Edwin Diaz to start the game. And I would be all over opening day if I could. I toyed with going to London, but the prices were crazy. And then we were talking about staying in the same hotel as all the traveling fans. And I'm like, well, why don't we just go to New York?
Yeah, right.
You know, so we
are you planning a trip to New York for a Mets game this year, Jake?
I've got tickets to see Pearl Jam in the fall, and the Mets are playing the Red Sox. So it's likely as of now.
Very nice. I have to coordinate as it gets closer. Maybe I make the trip down.
Heck yeah. I'll share the dates.
Cool. Good deal. Yeah, we'll be there in July. We'll be there in July for my daughter's birthday, and we're going to bring my mother-in-law, who's never been to City Field. She never gets to come on trips. She usually cat sits for us, but we're going to bring her along this time. We're going to do the Mets game Thursday. It's a July matinee, and then the next day we're going to do the Bronx Zoo. So it'll be a nice little 2-day trip.
Yeah, this should be fun.
Yep.
That'll be why a deep in softball season for me by then.
Make sure you stretch, old timer.
No, I just have to coach. I just have to stand on the sideline and yell.
You should still stretch, Mike. Carrying all that equipment, you could hurt yourself. Yeah,
just standing there after the games, my heel usually hurts. So yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, I think we've got any last minute nonsense to get out there.
Nothing else I got.
No different from the first 34 minutes of nonsense.
Right. Exactly. Well, specific nonsense. You had nonsense under the gun. It's like ninth inning Edwin Diaz nonsense or something.
No pressure,
I am excited about all the lights and nonsense they're going to do with Edwin Diaz, though, with the LED lights at City Field and flashing for the intro. It's going to be sort of like an event. Cool.
So it should be I'm into that. Dance team is going to be going nuts. It's going to be great.
The dance team. We have the whole episode about the dance team.
Yes. Special episode next time. The dance team episode. The dance team.
Okay. So, thank you for listening to us ramble about nonsense, and rate us 5 stars. Give us, review us, follow us, give us beer recommendations and all that stuff. Let's go Mets.
Let's go beer.